This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR Football Nation Radio.
It's that time of the day, that time of the week. I've got to say hello to Louise Taffer on my immediate right hand.
Hi, George.
How are you?
Oh, it's been a busy day.
It has been a busy day, but things get better. I can now tell you that we're just 15 days away from the biggest women's tournament, cup, whatever you want to call it, in the world, when the World Cup of Football kicks off in June. I'm so thrilled to bits. We got a chance a little bit earlier to have a look at some of the things that are going on behind the scenes. We'll be talking to David Bashir from SBS, next few days, and he's going to set us up. He's going to give us a sense of the team that's coming up, some of the teams that we should be looking out for, and if there will be any surprises or setbacks. Do you think there'll be any surprises and shocks at the World Cup?
I think so. There always is.
Yeah, but this is going to be the biggest women's tournament ever.
I know.
And you know how much I hate saying ever.
It is the FIFA Women's World Cup.
Oh,
FIFA,
it'll be fantastic.
Actually bracing themselves for what is going to be a tournament that they've never experienced before.
No, look, every edition has just got better and better. And some of the biggest nations in the world have now understood that women do count, and they're doing some fabulous things behind the scenes to promote the game in their countries. Not that they've had to promote the men's game, but they've had to promote the women's game. So some of the biggest nations in the world, like Brazil and Italy, have had some catching up to do. But listen, when you have that much DNA, real football DNA in your nation, it's amazing how quickly you can pick up.
I'm excited to see the Netherlands.
Yes. I think the French side will be very, very potent. And, of course, most home teams have that little bit of extra zush and extra special energy, because when they play in front of their home fans, it's normally just, just magnificent. Speaking of football, we'll get a chance to catch up with the man from The Age, Michael Lynch, as we tend to do each and every week, and that'll be around about the 5:45 mark. We've got quite a few guests to get through between now and then. What did you make of some of the news of the day today?
What part? There's so much.
Well, let's start with one of the local stories in Melbourne, one of the teams that we've been hanging out to hear a bit more from. And that's, of course, Western United. They have been waiting for the right moment to announce their coach. Who's their new coach, Louise Taffer?
Oh, we definitely didn't see this coming, George.
You know, I saw Val Migliaccio say that the biggest or the worst kept secret was announced in for the Adelaide Reds. I actually think this was one that tops the Adelaide announcement. And we'll mention the Adelaide announcement in just a moment.
It has to.
But I think the worst-kept secret has been this one. Everyone's been sitting on this almost from halfway through the season. That's how well it's been handled. So, come on, name the name.
Mark Rudan has been announced as Western United's inaugural club coach.
Yes, he's got the reins. He'll have some fantastic support. John Anastasiades and the other Johnny, just bear with me. My brain's gone into neutral. Hutcho, yes. Hutcho will want to kick me after that. But Hutcho and Anastasiades can now say they know who their coach is. The coach now can identify all the players, and they've got a few more to pick. And we've noticed that they're going with some smart players. They're going with some seasoned pieces, but they've also got an awful lot of young players who have signed up, and they want to be part of the next campaign, or the very first campaign, by Western United. And they held their announcement this morning at Truganina.
You know, one comment that Mark Rudan made today, which I thought was really quite interesting.
Go on.
Was that he actually believes the Western Victory Derby will overtake the City Victory Derby.
The City Victory Derby.
Well, I get it.
Look, you know what? If you're going to create mayhem and mischief, why don't you do it from day one? It's up to City to ramp up its efforts. Interestingly, it'll be a victory minus Kevin Muscat, who we now know is no longer part of the victory setup. That's not bad. 14 years, and if you give it a mark out of 100, what would you have marked Kevin? What would you have given Kevin Muscat for his last 14 years?
I don't think I'm qualified to answer that.
No, you are. You're qualified.
What would you give him?
I'd give him a 75.
75 out of 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where did all those other missing marks go?
No. Well, he didn't win every year, did he?
No.
And if he'd won every year, he would have got the full 100 points.
And also,
but 70, if I gave you a 75 pass mark, I think you'd be very, 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 very happy.
I'd want 90.
you're a hard critic, aren't you?
I was also going to say, and also because of his efforts in Asia, didn't quite.
Yeah, I think that's probably some of the reasons why I haven't given him or haven't marked him up any higher. But I think 75 is a fantastic pass mark.
George the teacher.
No, I just think it's important that you acknowledge the contribution that he made. He got really teary, and that's understandable. When you invest that much of yourself, that much time. I loved the bit when he was going through and acknowledging all the people who had been through the office at Melbourne Victory over the last 14 years. And he got very emotional because he would identify with the faces and he would know the characters. And I think he really has. He's gone from player to manager and coach, and he's seen some fantastic highs and he's had some setbacks. And it was a terrible way to go out, you know, second to last game. It was disappointing that the side came up against a Sydney team that would go on eventually and claim the trophy in the final series. But by goodness, no one saw that coming. But we move on, congratulate him, and wish him all the very, very best. I'm just wondering, Trimmers, Mr. Trimboli, is he going to be staying on at the Victory or will there be a clean out? Because he's been a fantastic addition. From day one, he's helped to shape. He was a legend at South Melbourne, and he's been a legend behind the scenes. I'm talking about Paul Trimboli, a fabulous forward in his playing day and a very smart operator behind the scenes for Melbourne Victory.
We'll have to see what and who the new coach brings in. And
okay. We know Mark Rudin. Who's the coach now of the Adelaide Reds, supposedly the worst-kept secret in the A-League?
I'm going to let you do the honours and pronounce his name, Mr.
Verbeek. His surname is Verbeek, but it's Gertjan Verbeek. And interestingly, he's a former coach of FC 20 in the Eredivisie. So he comes armed with some credentials. And, of course, he wants to make them a very, very, very good side. He came out. He hasn't decided he's going to take it nice and quietly. He's decided he's going to tell the world what he wants to do with his Adelaide Reds. I think it's fantastic. Come in and be combative and put your stake in the ground and just say, that's us. That's who we are going to be and that's who I'm going to be. Don't forget to stay on FNR tonight because one of our favourite program returns. If you know your history, it's at 7 o'clock with Ian Sison and Paul Mavroudis. Then stay on because at 8 o'clock, we have another program, another club show, this time from the Preston Lions. It's called The Lion's Den, and it features a couple of characters we know very well. One is Josh Parrish, and the other is David Svetkovsky. And they're going to catch up with the high-performance manager at Preston, a guy called Joey Wanush, before they get a chance to do a little bit of relaxing, sitting back and allowing one of the other characters, a larger-than-life character called Con Opasinas, to do a bit of reminiscing about his time at the club. So if you want to hear some tales about the NSL, maybe you're missing the Pioneers, this might well be the opportunity. So from 8 o'clock tonight, make sure you catch up. The Lion's Den. I know Josh has been working tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure that he's as well-versed and as up-to-date with some of the old NSL stories. Let's see how he goes. So that's tonight from 8 o'clock. Great club show. We're going to catch up with the coach of the Pararoos very shortly, Kyle Lamott. They've got a very big event coming up. And they've got the World Cup, believe it or not, for the Pararoos. They're off to Spain in July. It seems to be that time, that year, when all the big events come together. So the Pararoos and, of course, the FFA conducting a huge fundraising gala. It's a big gala dinner. It's happening, I think, next Monday. And guess who their keynote speaker will be at a gala football event in Sydney?
Who?
Kevin Rudd, the former Prime Minister.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a very shrewd pickup because the topic they're going to be discussing is engaging with Asia. And one of the guys who has done that from the very beginning, and in fact he's fluent in Mandarin, is the former Prime Minister. So if you want to be part of it, get on the website and find out a bit more. I think it's go to pararoos.com.au. If you want any more details, it's Engaging with Asia. Graham Arnold will also be there, the Socceroos coach. So it's a big gala event. It's happening on Monday of next week. And we'll be talking to Kai very, very shortly about that. Something else we need to talk about. You mentioned Mark Rudin. You mentioned one of the other bits of news from that press conference this morning. We heard that the club has announced a former Melbourne Knights goalkeeper, Frank Jurich, to step up and be part of the goalkeeping fraternity there. He's going to be showing them how to stop the ball from going into the back of the net. So, hey, they're building a decent squad.
They are. It's certainly coming together.
Yeah, well, Jurich has worked as a goalkeeping coach at Perth Glory, and most recently he was at Adelaide United. So, interesting times. So we've got the new coach, Gert-Jan Verbeek, at Adelaide Reds. We've got Mark Rudin. And, of course, we heard some other news today from Graham Arnold, the Socceroos coach. He named how many new faces?
Six.
Wow. Yep, the boys are busy preparing to play against Korea Republic on the 7th of June, that game being played in Korea. And Graham, of course, Graham Arnold, as we caught up with him recently at the community in business function for Football Victoria at the Peninsula on the Docklands. And he talked about what he wants to see from young players who come into the squad. He wants them to be free of tension and to play with, full-on heart and embrace the opportunity. I think that's the most exciting thing anyone can do. I know you think you love to see that whenever any of the girls get an opportunity to come into any W League side. You have always been telling me that the 14-year-olds, the 15-year-olds, cannot wait to play their first game.
Yeah, because they're young and hungry, George.
Absolutely. That's super hungry.
Lots of young players out there are young and hungry to get an opportunity, and when they do get that opportunity, they take it. And touching on the six debutants that feature in the Socceroos squad that has been announced, Sydney FC's championship-winning duo, Andrew Redmayne and also Brandon O'Neill join and link up with Graham Arnold.
Yeah, well, it's the beauty of having a really good relationship with the national coach. He has a pretty good idea of what you can and can't do. Some people are surprised that both of them have been named in the squad. I don't think it's a big surprise. They're in really good form. Brandon has been in sensational form for a couple of years, two or three years. And Redmayne has really grown up as a keeper because I can remember his time at Melbourne City. He was prone to the occasional mistake, especially if there was a goal scored early. He would let it get to him. But clearly working in Sydney under the coaching fraternity there, he has become a very, very, very solid keeper. And nothing better. Reward people who play well. I'm liking his new Game of Thrones beard, which, you know, every great character, whether your name is Tormund Giantsbane or Jon Snow, you know, tends to wear these days. It's very impressive. I was really impressed by his antics on the goal line in the penalty shootout. People keep saying to me, you can't do that, you can't do that. They've changed the rules. What you can't do is can't jump forward off the line.
Did you ever do a dance like that?
I didn't need to. I was always smart enough to know where it was going.
How many penalties did you save?
Actually, it was one of the things I did very well.
Really?
I didn't jump early. I always waited for the ball to be kicked before I decided to make a move.
Okay.
And I've always been a great believer in body language, watching the player approach the ball. And remember, I was playing in the days when the balls were a lot heavier, so you couldn't do this little ticky-tack stuff and flick it over the goalkeeper. You had to actually bury it. I loved pitting my wits against some of the guys taking shots at the time. Can I just take opportunity to say, I've noticed FFA were very quick today to come out during what is effectively the end of the Volunteers Week. A terrific announcement. They're wrapping up the National Week by saying a huge thank you to the millions of volunteers who are part of the game and who give their time right across the country to support football. If you think about it, there are 2,300 grassroots clubs in the country.
That's
2,300. And we are, without a doubt, the most popular club-based sport in Australia by quite some way. You can't fudge the numbers. That's the truth.
No surprises.
So
there.
To all the volunteers, we say thank you. Love what you do. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without you. And I know when I was at my time at South Melbourne, just how important the volunteers were, not only on game day, but through the week and after the match, cleaning up, tidying up, coming in and cutting the lawn and painting, the certain areas of the terraces that, fans forget and abuse occasionally. They shouldn't, because it's their club and all that stuff belongs to them, the fans. But so terrific opportunity for FFA to get up and say thank you to everyone. We're also catching up with a couple of people who will be talking at the International Coaching Conference, which is coming up this weekend at the Royal Pines Resort on the Gold Coast. Who have we got coming up first?
We will have Inter Milan's Academy Technical Director, Marco Monti.
Now, is this the same Marco Monti that got a chance to coach people like Mario Balotelli?
It is.
Ooh.
Very exciting.
Okay. So that will be interesting.
Yes.
I think he played at Lazio and Atalanta. I think he was – how's this? He played at Lazio with Diego Maradona and – Paolo Maldini.
Isn't that incredible?
Before we talk to him, though, I think what we might do is we got a chance, I think it was yesterday, to speak to the technical director of the Brisbane Strikers, Nacho Ferrer, who has spent quite some time also spending an opportunity rubbing shoulders with some terrific people like Zinedine Zidane at
Football
Real Madrid.
Royalty.
Yeah, and Nacho is another one of the guest speakers who will be fronting up and presenting a keynote speech at the IFCCA conference, as I mentioned, coming up at the RACV Club, the Royal Pines Hotel. It's a gorgeous complex if you haven't been up to the Gold Coast. Do it. And here's a little bit of – it's a snippet of Nacho telling us what's likely to come up on the weekend. This is Nacho Ferrer.
One of the problems that we are facing now in youth football is that players are not doing what we used to do when we were kids. We spent a lot of time at the street. And if I imagine how those Brazilian, Argentinian, and even Spanish players that now are superstars really became what they are now, I cannot imagine them learning everything in an academy. I think they learned most of the things that they know at the street, just playing by themselves. So from that basement, then they joined an academy and they evolved and they improved. But the base, I think, needs to be street football. And that's why every day here at the Brisbane Strikers, when kids arrive, we have set up several fields for them to establish and to organize themselves into teams and to play freely without any coaching direction, so that they can try new things. And I think that's the perfect framework to develop their creativity. and to try new skills and new things. So they do it every day for 15 minutes. Of course, there's a coach there for safety reasons, but he's not intervening and he's not influencing the players at any way. And players know that that's the moment to express themselves even more than when they do during their regular football program. So street football is one of our most important ways of training, and we are developing it here at Brisbane Strikers.
Isn't that great? Nacho Ferrer talking about how we can go back to the future. He's saying, let's get back and play a bit of street football. That's how we learned to play the game, against the streets, you know, the kids in the streets, the kids next door, kids in the next suburb. If you think about it, some of the greatest footballers in the world learnt their football on the streets. Diego Maradona, who was a street urchin in Argentina, and he was that's how he grew it. He understood how to be cheeky, combative. Pelé, similarly, also learnt the sport playing in the streets without a proper football. So imagine when they got a real one, how much easier it was. And if you want to know a bit more about that that interview with Nacho Ferrer, it is available on the FNR Football Nation SoundCloud app, I think.
SoundCloud and also our website.
Okay. Mm, so exciting. Get to it. Nacho Ferrer is the name, and he will be talking this weekend at the International Coaching Conference coming up at the Royal Pines Resort at the RACV Club on the Gold Coast. So that's fantastic.
George, we might take a quick break.
Let's do that. When we come back, a lot more. And don't forget, a couple of programs returning this week or tonight. If You Know Your History at 7 o'clock, and more of the Lion's Den and their NSL storytelling at 8 o'clock.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Louise Taffer, I've just put the headphones back on. If you're watching on Facebook Live, what have you got for me? We've had a chance to get through some of the news of the day, and there's been quite a bit of news, especially when you consider that the A-League season is over. The NPL seasons right across the country are well underway, and there's have been some fantastic tussles already, some upsets, some shocks. And there'll be much more in hand as we get towards the weekend. And you'll hear tomorrow some more on FNR. What have you got for us now, though?
Before we go on to some news.
All right.
Just some housekeeping.
You're gonna I knew this. You're going to change the program. What have you got in store for us,
well,
Louise?
Tomorrow, I just want to let everyone know that we won't be on air.
Okay. Is there something I need to know?
Just we're fixing some things in the studio.
Some practicalities have to be sorted.
Yes.
Okay, well...
So no show tomorrow?
It's called an update.
But you can still listen to all of our interviews on FNR's website and
fantastic.
SoundCloud
okay.
if you missed any of those. But, George, you touched on the Pararoos a little bit earlier.
Yes, I did.
And now it's time for us to take a look at what they're doing, because they are going to a FIFA World Cup in July.
Listen, if you think about it long and hard, they are a self-funded team. FFA tries to help where it can, but these guys do a fantastic job to garner as many dollars as they possibly can to give the Pararoos, who are the national team that represents us in the cerebral palsy competition around the world. And wait for it, in July, they're heading off to Spain. And what, of course, we're doing is we want to help them raise as many funds as possible to get that side up and running. And they've got a huge gala. And the man who knows more about it than I is their coach, Kai Lammett. And he's going to join us. And he's going to talk about one of the big, special parts of the program coming up at this gala on Monday. And that is that they've gone out of their way. They've knocked over a keynote speaker and a half. They've got the former Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, who knows Asia like the back of his hand, who speaks fluent Mandarin, and he's going to be the guy who's going to get up at the gala event for the Pararoos on Monday and talk about how we should get out there and engage with Asia. And I think it's important that we get the coach, we acknowledge how smart he is, and more importantly, give him our best wishes and hope that he can get the money that they're looking for to send the Pararoos on their way and let them be as well funded, I think, as they need to be. Kai Lammett, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to FNR. As I was just touching on, a fantastic gala coming up in Sydney on Monday, and you've pulled out all stops. You've got some heavy hitters in there.
Yeah, no, we're very very excited to have obviously Kevin Rudd and Kevin Rudd and Graham Arnold coming along. So it should be a great event, I reckon.
Now, tell me, where is it happening?
So it'll be happening at the Intercontinental in Sydney.
Oh, so you don't go just anywhere. You go top of the class.
No. Very classy, that's right.
The Intercontinental, one of the great old hotels in Sydney, fantastic. As you said, you touched on the Socceroos coaches there. How did you get Kevin Rudd to come out of the shadows and present the keynote speech for the night?
I believe one of our champions at FFA knows him really well, and I think I was just asking him long enough so he couldn't say no to it. So it's it's great for him to take the time out and help us out and present it on Monday night.
Kai, tell us a little bit about the team and maybe some of the individual stories.
How long do you got?
we'll be here till about midnight. So go for it, Kai.
I mean, every single one of them is a very inspirational story.
How many players are we taking away?
We're taking 14 away, and I mean, just to touch on one story in particular, it was one of the boys had a skateboard accident and hit his head very heavily. Was in intensive care, and his mom was asked to, either just pull the switch off and sort of let it be. And she decided not to. And two years later, this young boy was representing Australia 2015 at the World Cup in England, and was man of the match in the first game. So these stories, it's just one story, but every single one of these heroes for me. They've got a story of resilience, of grit, of just bouncing back. And for me, there's nothing more Australian than that, to be honest.
Kai Lammett is the coach of the Pararoos who we're talking to on FNR. And what's fantastic is he's telling us a story about one of the players in the squad. We had the Prime Minister the other day talk about miracles. Kai, this also sounds like a bit of a miracle. He was just about ready to have the machine turned off, and his mother wouldn't do it. And 2 years on, he's man of the match for the Pararoos.
Yes, and that's just one story. Like we've got a boy who fell off a cliff, and we've got endless of these stories. Every single one is obviously an individual story, and they'll be able to tell you how hard it was to grow up with cerebral palsy and to have, back then as well, have the Pararoos as role models. And all of them are fantastic role models. One of our core values is legacy. So they turn up at the Pararoos development centres and mentor the next generation of young teen CP footballers. So it's really a close-knit family, and it really shows you that anything is possible and that we need to support these boys. They need to be around. We need to have the camps and for future, not only for the now, but for future generations as well.
How much money are we looking to raise on Monday? I suppose it's a case of as much as possible, huh? Do you have a target?
Yes. We would obviously love to have, 300K somewhere. So if we have 300 to 500K a year, that means we can have our camps. That means, the boys get to go to Spain, which that's where our next World Cup is in July. But, most of our tournaments, they're in Europe. So it's not cheap to get 14 plus, 6-7 staff to get over there, plus then fly them in for camps. So it's very expensive. So we obviously need, 300 to 400K to be sustainable long term as well every year.
And so it's pretty tough for you to be virtually self-funded.
Yes, of course. I mean, we've got some fantastic donors already, and some great businesses who see the value in supporting us. And because really, you're changing lives. That's ultimately what it comes down to.
No, because, that's very true.
Yeah.
Kai, I was just saying here, if you want any more details regarding tickets, they can access www.pararoos.com.au. You've told us that you've got a terrific guest who will be presenting the keynote speech, and that's the former Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd. Is Graham Arnold likely to talk? I know he's going to be there. Is he likely to step up, especially now that he's just announced a new squad and added some new faces?
Well, I hope he will, because I like listening to him. So hopefully he'll be up there as well and speak a little bit about the upcoming games and his vision as well.
Kai, how did you get involved with the Pararoos?
A long time ago. I'm nearly 13 years with the team. I was 8 years assistant. And it was basically the former head coach asked me if I want to be involved. And from the very first moment, I realized that that's what I want to do. And, as I said, the boys are great. You know, it's just the work ethic and the way they go about their business in camp is fantastic. And I love coaching them. I'm very honored to coach them, to be honest.
How much man management, how much coaching are you doing? Is it 50-50 or are you doing 75-15?
That's a good question. I mean, me personally, I believe that the person comes first anyway. It doesn't matter if I coach the Pararoos or I'm lucky enough to be a full-time coach with the school as well. So for me, the person always comes first anyway. And then obviously the coaching, the tactic, the performance, all the other bits, S&C, everything is important. But it all starts with the individual player and with the person, I reckon.
You notice I the numbers I gave you add up to 90, which means the last 10% is always that miracle that no one can account for. And it's always something in each and every team. That's that little... it's a very hard thing to put your finger on, but sometimes in groups and in squads, there are special characters who can magically add something very special. Do you have one or two or three of those in this squad?
Yes, all seven.
All seven.
for me personally, all of this works only if the team is working, and we've got a fantastic leadership group, but really everyone needs to be leader out there and everyone needs to chip in. So no one can really hide. It's seven-a-side game. So, for me, they're all fantastic characters and great players as well. I mean, they already achieved a miracle by finishing top 10 at the last World Championships, and no one really expected that or saw that coming. So we obviously want to raise the bar, and we always want to do better. We want to be better at the training, better at the next game, better at the next World Cup. I'm confident the boys can do that.
Kai, who are our big threats?
Our big threats, we'll play against Ukraine, which is the world number one, and they're professional footballers. So they're, they're good.
So we're playing against professionals? Did you say we're playing against professionals?
We're playing against, Ukraine, Russia. They're all basically, all they do is play football. And it's obviously hard to play against those teams. Yeah, it is.
Does it get any easier after Ukraine?
Well, Argentina are number five in the world, and they're all good teams. Like, it's the World Cup, you don't have any easy games, and I don't expect any easy games. And then we've got the host Spain to come in our group. So
sounds like a group of death.
No, we're known, I think, as Australia in football, we're known to get these sort of groups. But to be honest, we're going to every game to win, and we believe we can win.
I love it.
And I think that's the start. Like, if we're going to go in and think, I hope we don't get six or seven, that's never going to work. Believe we can win, and we're definitely ready. We're well prepared.
Kai Lammert, here's the exciting thing. You'll be following the Matildas.
Absolutely.
How exciting is that? Can you imagine if they do something sensational? Then it'll be up to you guys to lift the bar even further.
Pressure will be on, yes.
No pressure. Listen, have a fabulous time. Good luck on Monday at the fundraiser. And if people do want to know more, www.pararoos.com.au. We've been talking to the coach of the Pararoos, a very proud, fiercely determined Kai Lammett. Thank you very much for joining us on FNR.
Oh, thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
Pleasure.
George, it's time to go to our next guest, who is the technical director of Inter Milan's academy.
Get out. How did we manage to get this particular person on the line?
Well,
have you reached out and made one of those normal requests you do?
It's just a part of work, George. But Marco Monti joins us now. Marco, thank you so much for coming on Evenings on FNR.
Hi, good evening.
Now, you're here for the International Coaching Conference on the Gold Coast on the weekend.
Yeah, sure. Next Saturday, we will have this important appointment conference.
Marco, you must be a really young guy. You've only had 41 years of experience in football.
Yeah, 41 years.
But you must be a very young man, eh?
Very young. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm just looking here, and it says the current technical director at Inter Academy. You had a chance to play with some of the biggest names in Europe, and you also had a chance to coach some of the biggest names that we have seen in the game. People of the caliber of Leonardo Bonucci. You've had a chance to coach the young Balotelli. What was Marco Balotelli like as a young man?
It was a good and important experience for me. I worked with him with our under-19 team. We won the league in Italy. We won the Viareggio tournament. We had a very important season. But Mario, like I think that you know, was a top player also at the time. He's a good guy and was, for both, I think, a good experience to work together.
We're talking to Marco, and interestingly, the thing that fascinates me, Marco, is your career. I mentioned 41 years, but you've played at some of the big clubs in Europe, Atalanta and Lazio, and during your stint there, you ran into a couple of guys who are pretty good at football, Diego Maradona and Paolo Maldini. Can you tell us a little bit about those two people and how different they were as players?
I think that for me was an important experience to play against them. Diego Maradona, I think that was he's one of the most important players that our world produced, because was alone at the time. He was changing the matches because with the them quality, his quality, his personality was a fantastic player with his characteristic. Paolo Maldini is a friend because we started to play against when he was 10, because he was playing in Milan, in AC Milan. I was played in FC Internazionale, and he has another kind of champion. He was a defender. He was a guy that always was applicated on with a lot of concentration. With his characteristic different than Maradona, was another top player. And I think that was one of the most important defender about our Italian defender school.
I think you're right. Both players were quite remarkable. Both have had a big hand in changing the way the game has evolved. Maldini, elegant, very smart, read the play beautifully. And Diego Maradona, quite simply, one of the greatest footballers to play the game. What an exciting time it must have been for you. The one thing both of them didn't lack was confidence, eh?
Yeah, they both One of the most important part of them characteristic is this, because you can have a big potential, big attitude, but if you don't have this kind of confidence, it's no easy play for 20 years at this level, because if you don't have this, you can arrive to play in first division, national team, but for maintain this level of performance, you must have this characteristic.
And speaking of characteristics, and the next generation now is coming through over there in Italy, and you are the technical director at Inter Milan's academy. Can you tell us a little bit about the Inter methodology and what you're trying to teach the younger kids coming through?
Usually we try to focus on creating a quality person before a quality player. On the field, our focus is on developing, on a problem-solving and thinking player, because we think that these two characteristics are very, very important. We aim to work on developing the individual skills first, and after tactical situation, trying to focus on situations that occur in every game, regardless the system of play. These are we help our players to recognize which is the most efficient skill to use in any given situation.
We're talking to Marco Monti on FNR, and Marco's giving us a sense of what they're looking at, what they're trying to instruct the next generation of footballers. And I love the fact that you said you're very keen to help them problem solve. I think every business in the world, whether it's sport or whether it's real business, the people you have working for you, the people you have in your organisation, you want them to be very good at problem solving. So why not football?
For us, it's very important, this kind of attitude. We want to help our players to improve themselves on technical and tactical skills. But after, we must remember that when are on the field, they must decide when and where do something alone. And this is, like you told, it's not important in our sport, but it's is important for them life, or for other professional aspects of their life.
I love that. That's fantastic. That's a really fresh and wonderful attitude, because it tells you that you're going into to identify the best characters to come and bring them to the club to play the best football. You want good people who understand what's happening in the game and what they need to do to change the course of the game. So
exactly.
Bravo. Marco Monti, one of the very special guests, is the technical director at the Inter Academy, and he's one of the keynote speakers at the International Coaching Conference, which is happening this weekend at the Royal Pines Resort on the Gold Coast. Make sure you don't miss it. It's a fantastic event. It's the very first time it's happening. We've got international coaches from all over the world, and they're coming here to not only give us an idea of how the game is changing and how it's evolving, but how we can be better at educating the next crop of youngsters and players, whether they be male or female. Marco Monti, thank you very, very much. It's terrific to get an insight into what it must have been like for you in the days at Atalanta and also at Lazio. And what a fantastic opportunity to be able to say you were there when you watched some of the greatest players to have played the game, especially in Europe, light up the football field every time they ran out. Can you just give us one instance that made Diego Maradona? We know about this. We know about the fabulous skill, but was there one moment that you still remember that that is special about Maradona?
I think that I can tell you that on 1990, when after there was in Italy the World Cup with Lazio, I was playing with Lazio, and we played the last game against Naples in Naples. And we lose 1-0. Naples won the league, the Italian league, and Maradona was the most important player in this team. For me, was we lose the match, but play against this kind of player for me was an honor, and I was happy to lose the match. This is, I think, my experience. It was very, very, very nice.
Marco, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your memories. We look forward to hearing how well the international conference goes on the weekend, and we wish you every success, and we trust you enjoy your time in Australia.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, and hope see you on in Gold Coast next Saturday.
Thank you very, very much, Marco Monti. Isn't it great? Can you imagine playing against Maradona in a game like that and having that memory? That's wonderful.
Just superb.
Who's next on our program list, Miss Louise Taffer?
The Age's Michael Lynch is joining us now.
Is Lynchy here, is he? Michael? Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Have you got back from Truganina this morning?
Truganina.
Did you go out?
I did.
Were you surprised by the announcement?
Staggered, you know. Hold the front page.
Val Miliaccio said that the worst kept secret was the one about the Adelaide Reds coach, the new Adelaide Reds coach. I would have thought that Western United had them covered by the length of the Flemington Strait.
Well, they did, but you've got to remember, Val lives in a world in which there is no borders outside South Australia, you know. There is no world beyond Adelaide and SA.
Oh, come on.
Advertiser. So Val sees
Val's a friend. Yeah, treat him
he's
gently.
A mate. He's a great mate, and he does a brilliant job. But his horizons are professionally very circumscribed by the South Australian border, not personally, of course, because he's a wonderful cyclist and a chap who gets across to Italy very often to cover the Giros. And
yeah, he loves his Lycra. I'm not going anywhere near that. My wife always says to me, I don't ever want to see you in Lycra, and I keep assuring her every time, do not worry, you'll never see me in Lycra.
I think there's probably three of Val to one of you, so, you know. Anyhow, it's the bungers that do it. I think that's what keeps him slim.
Some interesting football news today. What did you make of all of it?
Oh, well, I can't really say much about the Adelaide one because my focus was very much on the Mark Rudin announcement out at Truganina, and I guess the wash up from the Asian Champions League finale for Kevin Muscat the night before. So they were the two things I focused on, the Muscat thing. Well, I did write a piece saying whoever does succeed Kevin, not only will have to focus on the A-League, but will have to try and find a way to improve the club's appalling record in the Asian Champions League, which they inevitably seem to qualify for, but then never perform in.
Louise asked me how I would mark Kevin Muscat and his time at the Victory. And I gave him, out of 100, I gave him 75, and she thought I should have rated him up a bit higher. But if you think about it, that's a terrific score, 75 out of 100. And where the numbers, where I did mark him down, was for those very reasons you touched on, that they didn't quite find a way around the Asian challenges.
Yeah, that's true.
But what he did here was fantastic in those 14 years.
Look, you know, there's never been a better performed person in the A-League. I mean, Thomas Broich won the title a couple of times as a player, so has Alex Brosk. So Kevin as a player has been a rival, but none of those have so far gone on to win the title twice as a coach, get to another grand final, losing it on penalties. You know, I think, you know, anywhere sort of between 75 and 80 is... Given that we're hanging judges and no one ever gets perfect marks,
they're huge shoes to fill. I agree with you.
Well, he is the identity of the club, you know.
He is very much so.
We were talking on it the show last week. You asked me about it, and I said I'd be staggered if he went to the Middle East, and I still would be. But you know, I sort of had the story on the back page of the Age on Saturday that he was going to go, and you know, having spoken to him subsequently and people around him, I think he just genuinely wanted a break.
Wow. I tell you what, when I heard some of the whispers last week, I said, not possible, unless something's gone on that I don't know about in terms of family and he needed a break or something. But I thought, again, that game was an aberration. I wouldn't judge them on that particular game. It just happened to be the second last game that he had the club.
Oh, yeah, that's the handle there. You know, you may as well judge him on the 6-0 win against 10 men of Adelaide.
Correct.
The grand final ten years earlier.
I think his contribution over those 14 years, both as a player and coach, have been extraordinary, and whoever takes over will have some work to do.
It's a body of work over 14 albums, not just one dud single that we have to judge him by.
No one-hit wonder. No, he worked it and they loved him. Tell me something. What have you made of the announcement today at Western United? Was it held as well as you imagined?
It came across really well. Basically... lit the fuse. He said, oh, I've watched those Melbourne derbies. There's nothing in it. No atmosphere, no real rivalry, not like Sydney where you get East and West. We're coming for you. We're going to provide that. We're the West and we're going to take you on in the East.
I think he has a short memory, Michael. There have been some great contests.
It's what he said, you know. So you report him, it was manna from heaven. You know, great line. For us journalists. I mean, he was also asked about tapping up players from the Phoenix. Ooh. And he insisted that he hadn't approached anyone from the Phoenix. He said, they came to me. That's a different story if they came to me.
My response would have been, I didn't approach anyone, but maybe other members of the organisation may well have reached out.
Well, if other members of Western United approached them and then they came and asked Rudin, well, that's fair enough. It's not... You know, I mean, how long's a piece of string? Everyone can be tapping everyone up all the time. Everyone in the game knows each other.
You're right. We see it all the time in leagues right around the world. You hear silly things like Alves is, pushing to make sure that his mate from the national side leaves one club to come to play with his club. You hear it all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Whether it's Ronaldo, whether it's you name the players, it's constantly happening, and especially now that they're big brands.
Rudin came across very well, talked it all up. You know, they've got actually an interesting squad. There's no real star names on their squad, but they've got a good mix of experience and youth, and a few players with a bit to prove. You know. There's no sort of magic dust there, though. I don't know if they're going to try and sign a magic dust name or they're just going to try with more of the same and make the magic by being competitive on the field.
So no Sings coming over from New Zealand?
Oh, he said Krishna was... No, he hadn't approached Krishna. We didn't actually ask him about Selfie thing, but Krishna was the one because he's out of contract. So he was asked about Krishna. He said no, he hadn't. He wasn't after him.
He's brought the goalkeeper, though, hasn't he? Curto.
Yeah, Curto's come and Max Burgess has come.
Interesting times.
I think Wellington are trying to do everything they can to keep hold of Krishna.
And so they should.
Well, they're going to have to pay for the privilege, I think. The bloke's 31. He's just won the Warren Medal and the Golden Boot. It's probably his last chance for a big payday.
And moving on, Lynchy, what did you make of the Socceroos announcement today, the squad and the six
new faces?
It's
a fringe squad, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of, try some, buy some. Let's have a look. Here's a reward for doing well this season. You're not in my first choice, but we're going to be replacing players and I need to see who can cope with the heat of the kitchen. And I never have a problem. I don't care if, each friendly match has 6 or 7 new caps. I don't mind that. I think you've got to look at players in the national team set up.
Their temperament.
See how they react
test
to
their
the pressure. Test their temperament. We'd all be staggered if Andrew Redmayne ended up as Australia's number one. But, who knows what injury, retirements, loss of form, whatever can bring. You know, he's put himself in the conversation to be at least part of the squad now, and that's fair play to him. Same with Lawrence Thomas,
Yeah, it is. It's just how it goes. And we also saw Adam Taggart finally get earn his spot in the Socceroos.
Yeah, recall, that's right.
Brad Smith, Reece Williams. I mean, there's some unusual names in there.
But they're all names that Graham is very comfortable with because he knows many of them because they've either played for him or he's seen them, they've played against them, you know?
Yeah,
so he understands the characters. I think he's trying to get that lovely blend that you were talking about earlier. I think this is the biggest key when you name whether it's international squads or state squads, or whatever, and you want to win. It's all about how they meld, how they come together, and how they fare when the lights are brightest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Ange used to talk about wanting a core group of about 30, didn't he? You know, and you probably need that 25 to 30 players with buy-in, who some of them know they're not going to make the final 23, but maybe if you've got 15 or 16 who are laid out misers, and then you've got another 14 who are battling for those last 6 or 7 spots, that really does give you buy-in, and it gives you plenty of incentive amongst your fringe players.
Speaking of buy-in, what did you make of the announcement today from Optus Sport? Football Victoria, and I think the announcement with Optus was that they're offering a complimentary service to children to watch the Women's World Cup. How fantastic is that?
Yeah, it's a smart marketing move.
Absolutely.
I mean, speculating to accumulate, you know, and fair play to them.
I think it's a fantastic time. Yeah.
All they need is some, you know, whatever the, I don't know what the calculation would be, but whatever percentage they need of those who get the free offer to just sign up would then make it a viable proposition. Now, I'm sure they've crunched the numbers.
Absolutely.
And they'd be confident enough in the product offering, being able to act as a sort of loss leader for a month before kicking in with a real dividend. So good luck to them. And in the interim, a lot of people get to see, they'd see the Australians on SBS anyway. Is Optus covering like all the non-Australian games as well?
Yeah, correct, is it just correct.
So they'll get to see more if they want, you know, whereas SBS, is SBS just doing the Aussie games? Or
no, they'll be doing a lot of combines and a lot of highlights packages. We got a chance to catch up with David Bashir, and we'll have an opportunity to hear from David in the next couple of days on FNR. They're getting ready. He's off to France ASAP. I think he's going to the French Open first because he's managed to score a gig for 3 or 4 days there calling the tennis before he whets his appetite in the Women's World Cup, which is only 15 days away, Michael.
I know. I leave on the 6th of June. So,
well, travel safely, my friend.
Yeah, only 2 Thursdays to go.
So you're not leaving a little earlier and going via Madrid, are you?
I wish I could, but I can't. You know. I wish they could, but I can't do that. So, it's going to be June the 6th.
Well, travel safely. Thank you for joining us on FNR. That's Michael Age. Michael Lynch from The Age. It's all Age in here. It's all right. No, Lynchy, thank you very much, mate. I appreciate it.
No worries. Don't be ageist.
I won't. but I use The Age often. Okay, Louise, thank you for joining us. It's almost time to go.
It is, and just in the final few seconds, we've just heard Perth Glory have announced 3 departures.
Who? Who's leaving?
Italiano, Walter Scott.
Well, hang on. Italiano's going overseas, isn't he?
Which we knew,
yeah. What are the other two?
Fabio Ferreira.
Oh, okay. Where's he likely to go, do you know? And the third member?
Walter Scott,
okay. That's it for this particular Thursday night. Don't forget, if you know your history, at 7 and at 8 o'clock, the next of the club shows on FNR. It's the Preston Lions Lions Den.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.